Next, we have our regular City Council study session. Welcome to everyone. I should have noted that Councilmember Glover is absent and excused from the previous meeting as well as this meeting. The first item on the agenda for this meeting is to hear a presentation and discuss an update of the 2017 Employee Benefits Program. Given that we are all employees of the City of Mesa, we are anxious to hear how the benefits program is doing. So, welcome.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. We appreciate your time today. I'm Gary Manning with Human Resources, and with me is Jan Ashley, our Benefits Administrator. And this is our annual benefit presentation to you, where we get to give you a preview of what our benefit operations will look like next year, as well as what changes we're recommending that we'd like to make to them. This first slide is really just an overview for you of the types of benefit programs that we currently offer to our employees, retirees, and their dependents. And probably, as you're aware, we offer a variety of medical, dental, and vision plans. We also offer basic and supplemental term life insurance, and we have a voluntary short-term disability program. As you know, the City of Mesa is self-funded, and so all of those programs are funded through the Employee Benefit Trust Fund. Now, the trust fund primarily receives its funding through three sources. One is contributions from the city. The second, of course, being premium contributions from both employees and retirees. And we do get some subsidy back from the state, from the Arizona State Retirement System, into that fund as well. In 2015 and so far in 2016, we have unfortunately seen some significant increases in medical costs. And as a result of that, we are recommending needing about an 8% increase in contributions to the benefit trust fund. What that means to our active employees is they will see premium increases that will range anywhere from $8 a month to $38 a month. And that really depends on whether it's single or family coverage and what plan they're on. Also, for the first time in 4 years, our retirees will also see premium increases. Those increases for retirees will range anywhere from $13 a month to, in one case, $67 a month. But the average premium increase for our retirees will be about $31 a month for those that are on the choice plan and $54 a month for those that are on the copay plan. Now, it's important to note that
excuse me, Gary.
Of course.
Yes, Mr. Finter.
Thank you, Mayor. Sorry to interrupt you. You said in one case, would that be one plan or one individual?
One individual will see an increase in $67. Okay. And that is at the high end.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So really, what are some of the cost drivers that we are seeing behind the need of us having to have this additional revenue? And really, it falls into three categories. One is, every year you can pretty much bank on these national medical inflationary costs that you just have to take into account. And those inflationary costs range anywhere from, 6 to 10%. And you just have to bank on every year, recognizing that those are additional costs that we're going to have to take into account. Second, I think it's worthy to note that since the passage of the Alternative Care Act 2 years ago, we've contributed about $900,000 in fees and taxes towards that program. And lastly, and probably most significantly, is we have unfortunately seen a significant increase in both the number and the severity of some fairly catastrophic claims. So let me give you just some comparisons, if I may. In the years 2013 and 2014, in each one of those years, we had 14 individual medical claims that exceeded $100,000. In 2015, we had 29 claims that exceeded $100,000. And in many of those instances, that figure was closer to $150,000 or more. So far in 2016, we've had 16 claims that are $100,000 or more. So we've already exceeded the 13 and 14, and we are still trending up with those. So, you might ask, what really are those claims all about? And two of them come to mind. Complex cancers seem to be, unfortunately, on the rise, as well as cardiovascular disease. And I don't think it'd be too much of a stretch if I were to suggest that probably everybody in the room here today has either been touched by or knows somebody who has been touched by cancer in some way. So it's unfortunately that that is on the increase. And although medical treatment for cancer has certainly increased and gotten much better over time, but so have the costs associated with treating those claims. So those are unfortunately some of the more significant cost drivers that we have seen. In 2017, we are also making a recommendation to increase the copays that are for individuals that are on the copay plan. Now, it's noteworthy to say that we have not seen or had any increases in copays in well over 10 years. And the increases that you see here on this slide are comparable to the copays that you will find in other cities, and we have benchmarked them against industry standards. And those copays will increase both on the medical side as well as on the prescription side. We had a choice to make when we put this together. On the one hand, we could have left the copays right where they are, but the rate of increase in premiums that those on the copay plan would have been higher. The other option we had was increase the copays and shift some of that cost burden to those that are actually using the plan and reduce the amount of increase that employees on the copay plan would have had, and we elected the second option for that. Other updates, we are increasing the out-of-pocket maximum that employees will pay before the plan pays at 100% from for both our medical as well as our prescription side. And one new program that we're pretty excited about is a new retiree Medicare Part D prescription drug program. So our retirees who are 65 and older and are on the Medicare program, this is a program that is going to enable the city to get back almost double the subsidies that we now get back from the federal government. Typically, we get back somewhere around $400,000 a year in subsidy, in prescription subsidies from Medicare and from the federal government. By installing this new program, we think it's going to be closer to $800,000 that we get back. To the average retiree, the operation is going to be fairly seamless behind the scenes. They'll just have a different prescription card than a CVS card, but they will still be able to get their prescriptions in the same way as they normally have. We have other plan document changes, those that are related to the Alternative Care Act and the requirements that we need to make in the plan document. There are some other cost savings and enhancements that we have in there, as well as just some language updates and corrections that will enable us to administer the plan more consistently. And by the way, all of those changes have been provided to you in a color-coded plan document and an executive summary that is also color-coded. So if you would like to, you could actually look into the plan document and see that specific language itself. This slide just shows you at a glance the contribution increases that we will see next year on both the city side as well as on the employee side. And probably that last column in yellow is the most important one, I think, for our employees. This is on the active side of the house. And it really just shows the difference in premium costs between what they're paying today and what they'll be paying next year, depending on whether it's single or family and whether they are on the choice plan or the copay plan.
Gary? Yes? Let's just say, I think you said it, but you said it kind of quickly. Let's make sure we understand that at the same time that the employers are paying more, the city is also contributing more. We
yes.
proportionally grow that together. So we're making sure that the city is picking up its portion also of this cost.
Yes. City contributions are going up as well as employee premium contributions, yes.
And thank you. That was a question that I had. And this chart points out that in the yellow area, how much the employee part is going up. And curiosity, how much is the city contribution going up?
Approximately 8%.
Yeah.
Okay.
The amount is going up.
Yeah. Everything's going up together.
Approximately 8%.
But we're highlighting the employee portion. But in our budget, when we do our budgeting, we'll see also an increase of the city's contribution towards the benefits plan. We try to keep everything proportional going as the increases go up.
Thank you, Mr. Cavanaugh.
And just a question: when will the city employees and retirees know what the actual payments would be for the different plans? Because I didn't see that in the plan book.
This presentation will be posted out on Inside Mesa. We have also talked to employees on our benefit task force. We've also been to the Employee Benefits Advisory Committee. This will be posted out there as well.
We presented it to the mid-managers meeting last week.
We presented it at the mid-managers meeting.
And it's online. They should have it on. I think it's either yesterday or today. It's being posted online.
I think today we'll post it immediately after this, so employees will be able to see that.
Great.
And our retirees on the 22nd will be getting in the mail an individualized, personalized letter that reminds them which plan they're on and what their premium rates will be, assuming they don't make any changes during open enrollment.
Right. Perfect. Thank you.
And speaking of open enrollment, open enrollment will be between October 10th and October 24th this year. It will be, as in prior years, a passive enrollment. What that means is if you don't want to make any changes to your plan, you don't actually have to, with the exception of those who participate in flexible spending. You will need to go back into the system and reload your election amount for FSA. We also have our annual health and wellness benefits fair that will be on October 13th from 9 to 2, and that will, as usual, be at the Mesa Convention Center. We'll have flu shots available for our retirees and our employees. Last year, we had almost 500 vaccines administered that day, so we're hoping to get at least that much. We'll also have our medical plan vendors, as well as our employee discount vendors there as well. So we hope to see all of you there on that day. Any questions?
Thank you. Council, a couple quick questions, Gary. The fund balance, how is that doing? Is it does it need to be tweaked? Is it too high? Is it too low? Is it, you know, Goldilocks just right? I know typically before we raise rates, we make sure that our fund balance isn't too big.
Actually, the fund balance is healthy. One thing to note, there was a bullet point on the slide that I failed to look at. Because of these additional costs between last year and this year, there has been a $10 million drawdown on that fund balance. And these additional contributions on the city, as well as the additional premiums, that was not an effort to recoup or return that $10 million. But the fund balance is still very healthy, and we're comfortable with where we are today.
Okay. But to Mayor and Council, to that point, it took a $10 million hit in 1 year. So you understand, that's why we try to keep a fairly good cushion, because in 1 year we lost $10 million. So we've got to make sure we don't have, a fund balance that could absorb that. In the past couple, 2-3 years, there have been years when we've allowed the fund balance to actually shrink and absorb the cost without passing on additional rate increases to the employees. But now the trending, as far as the cost of claims, is growing faster than what we're collecting, and so obviously there's a structural issue there, and that's why we've had to make that's why we're proposing these recommended changes.
So will this new budget allow add money to that fund balance, or do we have a guess as to whether it will or not? Or I'm sure it's somewhat subject to the number of catastrophic claims we have and other costs, but what's the plan for the fund balance?
Mayor and Council, we look at the fund balance each year as we develop the budget. So in the 16-17 budget, we had anticipated these claims going forward, and we anticipated the fund balance where we thought we would end the fiscal year. One of the differences is we do these particular benefits on a calendar year, so we're 6 months off on our cycle for our fiscal year. So we make those assumptions on the fiscal year, and at this point we're right on track with where we thought we'd be when we developed the 16-17 budget. The 16-17 budget does have the increased city contribution for that six-month period between January and June of 2017 included, and that would maintain the fund balance of where we ended in 15-16. So we feel that we're at a good place for our fund balance level. We were able to absorb those decreases, and that's why we really watch that fund balance to make sure that we can absorb in any one particular year. Because we can only make changes once a year, there's a delay on us reacting to something that might be happening in the environment. So we think we're on track right now. We think our fund balance is sufficient to carry us in, and we will obviously continue to look at the claims as they come in and make sure that we're making those adjustments along the way.
Great. My last question, how's the health center doing? Is it being utilized? Are we pleased with the number of folks that are using it? And financially, is it a plus or a minus or a break-even for us?
The Health and Wellness Center is doing very well. We are seeing on average about 80 new patients a month. It's being well utilized, and we are keeping careful track on those trends and how many appointments we get and how things are going. It's a little early to tell whether or not, from a claims perspective, if we are eventually going to see a reduction in claims cost as a result of being proactive by getting employees early to the wellness center. But all initial, at least anecdotal data, says the wellness center has been well received, is being well utilized, and there are some good things that are happening down there. We have a number of classes that we are now offering, from tobacco cessation classes to diabetes awareness to nutrition classes to a number of citywide initiatives that couple with and piggyback off of the information that we get from the Wellness Center on areas that we need to particularly focus in a proactive way with some programs that we can initiate citywide. So we're doing that, and we're excited about the Wellness Center initiative.
Mayor and Council, one of the things that's valuable about the Wellness Center is because we have so many employees that are going through the Wellness Center, it does give us feedback without, you know, violating HIPAA, but we get an idea of the types of issues, whether it's diabetes or cardiovascular, whatever those might be, that we then can take and develop programs or classes, as Gary says, to assist our employees. So it kind of helps us identify trends and concerns that we need to be aware of that we really wouldn't have access to before. And I think what I hear mostly from our employees is the convenience is unmatched for them to be able to go to the Wellness Center during work, take some time off and go there. I think that is one of the huge benefits, is that we made health, access to healthcare very convenient for our employees, and that seems to be something they're very happy about. So.
Since the Wellness Center opened, the last statistics I saw, we've seen about 3,500 employees. So we always want that to increase, but we're pretty happy with its utilization.
3,500 different city employees have been there.
Either employees or their dependents have been there. Yes.
Great. Mr. Fincher.
I'm a utilizer of the Wellness Center. Big believer. Amazing staff. They do a great job there. And I've heard some anecdotal examples of what they feel like they caught early.
Yes.
It probably saved some catastrophic costs down the road of an emergency room and other things. But I had a couple of questions. In the original, I thought I saw some information about the impact of Obamacare. There was like a $900,000 hit. And could you, for my first question, kind of outline what some of the challenges have been cost-wise because of Obamacare?
Can you outline what those fees and taxes are?
Yeah. There are two specific fees or taxes that are assigned to all large employers under Obamacare. One of them is a transitional reinsurance fee, which is paid on a per-head basis each year, and that comprises the bulk of that $900,000 that we've spent so far. It's about $400,000 each year that we've spent on that. And then there's another fee that's called the PCORI, as we say it, P-C-O-R-I, and I cannot for the life of me think what all of those letters stand for,
right.
But it's a patient-centered research fee that is being ascribed to large employers, and it again is on a per-head basis. We have to pay for each head that's counted in our plans. It's approximately $1 to $1.50 per head that we have to pay for that. That's worth about $25,000 a year. Those fees will abate over time, but we do anticipate at least for the next year there'll be about $450,000 worth of those fees coming from that direction.
They'll probably abate just like the state is not charging us anymore for collecting sales tax.
Exactly.
Somehow we keep paying it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so they're not penalties, they're fees that are ascribed to everyone. We haven't got into a penalty environment at all at this point.
Because we did away with the Cadillac plans, correct?
We did away with one potential Cadillac plan 2 years ago, but we still do have a very rich plan in the copay plan that has the potential to be in a Cadillac tax environment in the future. So we're keeping a close watch on that as well.
And that'll be for future councils to look
at. That's projected for 2020 and beyond is when that impact has the potential to be in place.
Okay. And Mayor, if I could, just quick observation. Weekly, sometimes daily, I hear from city employees and retirees how grateful they are for this insurance, especially on the retiree side, that they're limited in their incomes. But they understand what is happening, you know, in the marketplace to everybody else. You know, these massive, expensive plans that are that people are subject to and suffering from. So let me just say I'm grateful, and on behalf of everybody that's kind of funneled it through, of all the good work that's done, lots of positive comments that come of being able to have this protection for themselves and their families. I know it's a wonderful thing that the city of Mesa provides for their employees. So even through all the difficulties, the Great Recession and everything, that knowing that's there. So thank you for the work that you do, and I'm grateful that we have this program for folks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Mr. Richens?
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of serving on the Employee Benefits Advisory Committee for most of my council term. And over the years, that committee will review appeals for lack of coverage. And I think this year was the first year that I was on council, the entire plan year, we didn't get any appeals. And I think the credit for that goes to the folks sitting in front of us and their staff to clarify the plan document and also to educate employees about what's covered and what's not. And so I want to compliment you guys publicly about what a great job you've done in helping people understand what's covered, what's not, and help guide employees towards coverage that benefits them. And, you know, that's not an easy task to do. Health coverage is a very emotional, very complex issue in America today. And so a lot of credit goes to you guys for doing that. I appreciate the efforts to control costs and to shift costs to people that are high utilizers. You're going to lose a big utilizer. You'll probably save $1 million when me and my family leave this plan next plan year, particularly in your dental plan. So, I too have enjoyed the clinic, and I'm going to miss not being able to go there anymore after January because they do a really good job. And if for any employee who might be listening and haven't tried it yet, you ought to go down there because they'll spend almost an uncomfortable amount of time with you asking you about your issues and trying to find ways to solve them. Like, Doc, you've been here 5 minutes. Shouldn't you be leaving by now? And they're asking you a lot of questions. But it's helpful, and it's helped me work through some health issues that I've had, and I've really appreciated the attention to care. I was very skeptical about the health clinic when the idea was first proposed, and I'm very impressed at how it's been implemented by our management. So thank you for that, and I've enjoyed my time utilizing the City of Mesa Health Plan. We've done a really nice job. So I just want to make sure I said that. We reviewed these a couple weeks ago in our committee. They passed out of committee unanimously. And do we need a motion tonight, or is this coming onto an agenda later, you know, what's, or this morning, did I say tonight, this morning?
Just to inform you, so you know what's coming. And
okay.
Because the employees will be getting the information, they'll be signing up for it. Your decision is made when we do the budget allocation, so that's
great.
Really when we do that.
Okay,
so,
all right, thank you. Thank you very much, appreciate the presentation. The next item on our agenda is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Council, anything? Hearing none, Mr. Brady, can you update us on scheduling of meetings and general information?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, there is a Building Stronger Neighborhoods event for District 5 on Thursday, September 22nd from 6:30 to 7:30 at Red Mountain Multi-Gen Center. So we invite everybody out for that. It'll be a lot of fun. And then our next study session will be Thursday, September 22nd at 7:30 a.m. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Council, if there's nothing else, we'd entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting. Thank you. In a second, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We are adjourned.